welcome you this morning to our worship service in Toronto, Canada. God has given to us another opportunity to worship His name, to lift up His word, and to rejoice in all of His mercies to us. We're going to commence our service by singing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer. Father, as we come into thy holy presence today, and we still ourselves the throne of grace, we come in the Savior's precious name to worship. We come to praise. We come, Lord, to ask of the things that we have need of for this new Lord's Day morning. We ask, Father, for the help of the Spirit of God in our service. We pray for that necessary moving of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and to bless us as we pray and sing and read and open the Word of God. We pray, Lord, today, that there will be blessing to our hearts, help on our journey. There would be strength, Lord, to face the challenges of each new day. There would be, Lord, given to us the necessary power to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in our generation. I'm asking, Lord, today that each believer would know that power and strengthening with might in our soul. Lord, we are weak vessels at the very best of times. We are fragile, we're broken, and yet, Lord, we know that as Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit enables, we are able to continue in the face of storm and opposition. We're able to continue, Lord, in the face of the attack of the enemy of our souls, of Satan's relentless battle against the Church of Christ, against believers. And Lord, as we face that day by day, sometimes we're aware of it in the frontal attack. Other times we may not be aware of it, Lord, so much because it comes subconsciously. But Lord, we're asking today that each believer here would be strengthened and given that necessary wherewithal and the power of God and the vision of Christ. Lord, lift our eyes by faith heavenward. Don't allow us to be distracted by all of the issues and all of the stuff that's going on around us. I pray, Lord, that we would know as soldiers of the cross, having on the armor of God by prayer and faith, that we would go forward not with timidity, not with uncertainty, but, oh Lord, we will go forward in the confidence and joy and power of the living God. Do that, Father, in us, for we have no strength nor might in self. And the arm of our flesh has failed us so many times, and it will fail us again. But Lord, today we want to take our confidence not in ourselves, but only in the living God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today He will be magnified in our worship, that He will be magnified in our reading of the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will bring the things of the Lord Jesus to our mind, to our hearts. Lord, help us this morning, we pray, and take away from us distracting thoughts. Oh, we bring, Lord, our minds and our thoughts, and we would consecrate them today and even for this hour, because we know how easy it is to be distracted from holy things and how Satan would love to just make us a little bit sleepy, a little bit distracted, a little bit thinking about the issues of tomorrow or all the things we must do. Lord, I pray that we would concentrate our hearts and devote our souls this day to our Savior. Lord, help us this day. We know that there are many who are in great need, many in our fellowship that need a touch from our God for health, some for spirit, some in a practical sense, Lord. They need Your hand to move government agencies. Need, Lord, Your hand to be opening doors for employment. Need, Lord, a hand to give direction for the daily supply. All these things are so real to us in all of our human condition. And Lord, we're asking humbly and yet confidently in faith that these prayers will be answered for healing for those who are facing surgery in this incoming week. We think of our sister Ruth. We pray for her. We give thanks for Your hand upon our sister Jonah in this past week. Lord, we pray for Your ongoing love and support of the bereaved and others in their aged or other health problems. How thankful we are, Lord. We are able to cast every care, every burden upon the Lord Jesus. And our Father, we pray for our nation today, remembering our leaders, remembering, Lord, the need that they have spiritually for salvation. Oh God, break through into their hearts. Do something that, Lord, we think is nigh impossible. Humble them. Bring them to the point of confessing their sins. Bring them, Lord, we pray by faith, to call out upon the Savior. Lord, restrain the evil and bless that which is righteous and good. Help our missionaries, we pray. Help those who are serving in all of our churches. Remember the congregations without pastors today. Lord, help them and bless them. And give direction for pulpits that will be without pastors, those retiring in the next little while. Lord, we pray and uphold all of them as well. Hear our prayer this day. There's so many things, Lord, and our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for all the provision, for all the kindnesses, for all the grace. Lord, hear our prayers now as we continue this very day in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Let's praise God again with the singing of Psalm 89. We're going to read in the Word of God today from Psalm 56. And please find your way to that portion. And as we read, may God give understanding and application of His Word to our hearts. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle? Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? We know that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts today, and I pray it will come with fresh challenge and encourage to every heart. You know, as we all have to face the various circumstances of life, everyone their own place, their own time, their own details, and yet how good it is to be able just to cast all our care upon the Lord, for He has promised to care for us. So, Christian, believer, not exactly sure what situation is facing you today, but whatever it is, fear not, because it may be greater than yourself. It may be far greater. And you may not have understanding. You may not know what the event will bring. You might not know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know how long the Lord has given to us. Our days, they are in the hands of the Lord. And we can only say, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. But at the end of it all, we have to just say, Lord, You're in control. You're in charge of everything. And to be happy and to rest there, well, it will give us great peace. And it will give us help in the time when all else seems to be slippery and our feet may be kicked out from underneath us. And yet we have to say, Lord, we turn our eyes toward heaven. We have no place else to turn. And so we look to the living God to help us in the time of our need. And always to remember, friend, the great words of Revelation, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And as we are trusting today in a sovereign God, let not those words just roll off your tongue without meaning. No, the God whom we trust is the God who knows the end from the beginning. In other words, He sees all life. He sees all of our existence. He knows everything that is going to happen to us. And let's be confident in this truth, that because God holds us in His hand, and because He has mapped out the course of our life for us, we are said to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Life has many twists and turns. Life has many uncertainties. But as a Christian, and as you today are able to say, Lord, I just place my all before You. We say, yes, Lord. And we can smile at the storm of life. And we can smile at all of those things that we have no answer for. And things, quite frankly, friend, that don't make any sense. You try to make sense out of them, and you try to put them in the right place, even in a biblical sense, and they don't seem to make sense. What do you do then? You say, Lord, give me trust and help me to walk by faith and not by my sight. And in so doing, the Lord will add to us the daily grace that is so absolutely necessary. I reminded you a couple of weeks ago about the testimony of Billy, blind man, virtually blind, and how that he has been taught by the Lord in the decreasing vision that he has physically to have increased vision spiritually and to trust in the Lord who daily gives to him grace in that time of need. May the Lord bless his word to your heart this morning. I want to welcome you all to our online service. We're glad that you are able to tune in. And we pray that you will remember us in prayer as we are praying for you. Please let me encourage you to think about joining us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week for our evenings of prayer. Meeting at 7:30, going till 9 o'clock, coming to the Lord with hearts that are burdened for his ministry and work. On Monday evening, we will be thinking about the ministry God has given to us in our church, how essential it is for every believer to be praying for themselves and for each other. To pray that God will use us in our generation and time. He will show us the way forward, and he will take us step by step on that path. Tuesday night, we want to remember the ministry of our school. The principal will be coming to give a report of where the school has come from September till now and how we might effectively be in prayer for that ministry. Dr. McClellan will also be bringing the devotional on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, we want to pray for our country, for the witness that we have in our community, for how we must be lights to shine in a dark place. You come and join with us in prayer. These are essential times. These are so important. And we want to be the best that we can be for the Lord. Also this week on Thursday, there will be the women's Bible study. It's the recommencement of this, now in an online format. The last Thursday of each month is when these meetings will be taking place. And so, if you would like to join up, but you haven't yet made that request, then send an email to our regular church email and just say you want to be a part of the ladies' Bible study, and we'll send you a link so you can join in to the Zoom on Thursday evening. Of course, each of our prayer meetings this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, are in the same format. They'll be online only via Zoom, and you can also request to get a link for those meetings. Remember, please, the sick ones in our fellowship. We don't want to omit praying for them. I already mentioned our sister Jonah Calica today, and I want to read just a little note from Jonah. She says, "I would like to thank everyone in the congregation who prayed for me while I was in the hospital during this past week. I thank the Lord for the answers to your prayers. I did sense the peace of God, and that peace overcame my fears. Even though it was a minor procedure," she said that she knew great peace in the Lord. And so Jonah wants to thank the entire congregation sincerely for their prayers. And also, do remember Dr. Slade today, Ruth Slade, as she'll be also facing surgery this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, that the Lord's hand would be upon her. She would know much blessing and the peace of God that passes all understanding. We have other sick ones that are on our list, and we want to keep them in prayer. And also would ask your prayer for Don Richards, the brother-in-law of Mrs. McClellan, and that he would know the hand of the Lord upon him during his health needs at this time, and the Lord would come near and speak to him. Also, we get a little note from John and Thelma Watson, a note of appreciation, thanking the congregation again for all of the faithful praying that they have been doing for them, and they also want to appreciate and give thanks to the congregation for remembering them in their time of need, health-wise and also in their elder years. These are important things to remember before God in prayer. And we also hold up to the Lord the needs of our nation, our country at this time. These are always important days. Last Lord's Day evening, I gave the congregation an announcement. Well, it had to do with the retirement of our brother George and sister Linda Robinson from the ministry here in the church, and that's the financial arm of that, and that will be taking place in the will of God in the summertime of 2021. Well, George has been involved in the finances of the church for, well, about 45 years. He has served in varying capacities, and treasurer and financial manager of our church and school. And Linda has served for over 25 years in the capacity of being assistant to the business manager. And it's going to be difficult to find replacements for these positions. And we want to ask you to join us in prayer in our congregation, in the session and board, as we seek the Lord for His direction, His guidance, His leading in these very, very important places. And as we think about the future and what it means to us in many, many ways, we certainly acknowledge appreciation and thanks to God for the people that He has put in places, very important places, and yet also knowing that we all come to the end of our days sooner or later, and none of us are irreplaceable. And we think to the Lord and pray to Him that He will place the right people in the right places at the right time, that His work will continue to go forward. We'll certainly have more to say a later time about the retirement of George and Linda, but we wanted to announce that and let the congregation know at this particular season. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, number 608, Hiding in Thee. Well, boys and girls, I hope that you are ready for a story today, and we're happy that Mr. Cleland is here with us, and he's going to share with us the children's story this time.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to look at, well, a hymn that I read this week, and I love looking through the hymn book and just sharing with my own heart the hymns that the Lord has blessed us over many years. And this one was from Priscilla Owens. It was way back in the 1800s. And I'm just going to give you one little verse of it. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Bring your attention today to the Bible reading. The Bible reading today is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're just going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And that's what I want to look at today. Now, what I did was I wanted to do a little bit of research because I thought, well, it'd be interesting to find out the use of an anchor. What's it used for? And where would we see one? So what I did was a little research, and I found that the largest ship that is out there on the ocean is a ship called the Triple E. And for us budding mathematicians, the thing carries 9,000 containers. And I'm going, that's a lot of containers. And what are these containers used for? Well, pretty much everything that you wear, anything that you have in your home, they all come in these containers from all parts of the world. So this one particular ship, it is 400 meters long. So I was just sitting thinking about that, and I was just thinking, what size is a football ground? What size is a football field that they all play in? And it's about 100 meters. So I was sitting thinking in my mind, 400 meters, there's some linebackers would have a struggle running from one end to the other end, because 400 meters is quite the stretch. And it's also 600 meters wide. So if you were playing on the top of that boat, you would have lots of space. You could actually have four football teams playing all at the same time. And then I started to think, well, how many cars would that be? If you got all the cars together from the church here and lined them all up right behind each other, you need 100 of them. 100 of them to stretch from the front of the boat right to the back of the boat. And I thought to myself, well, hold on, that's a big boat. And I'm sitting thinking in my mind, what sort of an anchor do you think you'd need for that? What sort of an anchor would you need to keep a boat that is that huge? And I started doing a little bit of research because it's quite tricky to find. And the actual anchor itself weighs 30,000 kilos. And I'm going, what? That is a huge amount of weight. And I started to think, put this in real terms. If you had 30 SUVs and you put them all together, that's the weight of the anchor. And I'm going, that's something that you would need to stop a boat of that size. And then I started to look at the length of the chain. The chain, each link in the chain is about the weight of three people, three good-sized people like myself, but about 500 kilos. So I'm starting to think, that's a huge chain that is required. And it's actually about 500 meters long, so the chain's nearly the length of the boat. So I started to think, can you imagine in your life a boat of that size with a small little anchor maybe weighing 200 kilos? I'm going, it ain't going to do much. It's not going to stop a boat of that size just being able to stop, even to weigh out a storm or something like that. And I'm wondering, I started to think, what is the anchor like in your life? Is it strong? Is it sturdy, like that big, huge anchor that they have? Or is it one of those light, little, weak anchors that would not really do very much? You know something? Us redeemed believers have a great blessing. We have a wonderful blessing because, as we've just read in the book of Hebrews there, the Lord is the anchor of our soul. And let's look at the necessity of having an anchor. Well, I started to look through the Bible and started to think of all of the people in the Bible who had trials and troubles that were like Abraham had his trials. We had Job suffered many losses, many that you can even, it's hard to imagine that even it would happen in your life. Joseph was someone who was hated. Joseph was hated. He was put in prison. And then you think about Daniel. Daniel was in that den of lions. You imagine being in there and the burden upon his soul. But you know something? He had the anchor of the Lord in his soul. And you know something? You know what's also very, very useful, very blessed to us believers is that it is a sure and certain anchor. It's sure because it's dependable. You imagine having the boat and you're not really depending on the anchor to hold you? That is amazing. Whenever you have a huge, big anchor that matches the boat. The other question I have is, who owns our anchor? Who is the one that owns the anchor of our life? You think about the Lord Jesus and what the sacrifice the Lord made for our sins. The Lord was willing to offer up himself as a sacrifice for each and every one of us. And remember that the Lord is the only one who really cares about your soul. I know we pray for you, but we have a Heavenly Father who prays for each and every one of us. And the Lord loves us without any reservation. And that is such a blessing to our soul that of all the sins that we've committed in our lives, the Lord still loves us with no reservation. So the question I have today is, what sort of anchor are you depending upon in your life? You know something? To be born again of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a blessing. It's such a wonderful blessing to have an anchor in our soul that will always be steadfast and always be sure. We trust that the Lord will bless this to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boys and girls, we hope that you also will trust in the Savior and that you will make Christ the anchor of your life. Thank you, Mr. Cleland, for sharing that story today. Let me ask you now, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. And then we have another reading also in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 15. First of all, we'll read from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I was brought to this portion of Scripture through the prayers of someone in a prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. And as they were thinking and praying through a line in this Scripture, I want to bring you the Word of God this morning. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarethah and at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents, cattle, carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. May God bless His word to our hearts again as we have read. Let's ask for His blessing upon His word. Father, hear our prayer now. Come and give help and understanding. Lord, we stand once more in great need. And I pray that the Word of God would come with power to every heart. And Lord, I ask that we would find always and only our confidence, our strength, and our rest in the living God. Lord, hear our prayer now. We ask in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Verse 11. There is a phrase in this verse we want to take as the main point. And this was really the word that came out in that particular prayer a few weeks ago. It says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help with many, or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. Asa came to the throne of Judah in peaceful days. Judah had reaped the benefit of a decisive victory that Asa's father had over Jeroboam, who was the king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And though Israel had been outnumbered at that time, 2-1, yet God gave them a great victory. And in chapter 13 and verse 18, we read these words: "The children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers." My, if that verse of Scripture as a motto could be written over the lives of God's people, and if we would only remember that, well, that's what Asa had, because he would have been there, he would have seen exactly what had transpired in the victory that his father had over Jeroboam. You may remember that Jeroboam was the one who, well, separated the kingdom at the days of Rehoboam when he took over as king. God had promised him, "Jeroboam, if you follow me, I will bless you. If you honor me, I will honor you." But Jeroboam despised the word of the Lord. He turned away from God. He set up altars in Samaria, not in Judah, in Jerusalem. And he turned the hearts of the people away. And Jeroboam kept the testimony that he did evil in his days, and all that followed after him, well, they had the same testimony that Jeroboam did, the son of Nebat. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But here God raised up Abijah, and he was victorious over Jeroboam. When we come to the son of Abijah, who is Asa before us now today, he had a great testimony as well. Look in verse 2 of chapter 14. It says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." I think that if any of us finished our days and God was to write that up about us, we would be very, very happy that that person, that woman, that man did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. It would be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." A blessed testimony that Asa had. He knew God. He knew the Lord as his Savior. And God was his guide in life. He was a faithful ambassador in the kingdom of the Lord. But his faithfulness was not something just in word, but it was in action. For we're told in verse 3 of our chapter that he took away the altars and the strange gods and the high places. He broke down the images and he cut down the groves, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. In other words, he was saying, "Turn to the Lord and hold to his word." Again, very, very good advice. I'd like you to turn back, please, to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Again, this summarizes the testimony of Asa. "He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made," not his father, but those that had gone before, "and also Maacah his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it in the brook Kidron." When we think about the testimony that God has included about this man, it is quite amazing. even to the point of his mother, who was queen, he did not say, "Oh, well, she's just my mummy. She's just my mummy. I'm just going to turn a blind eye to what she has done and her sin." No, friend. This was not the heart of Asa. For he realized that the honor of God and the commandment of the Lord goes beyond family. And he took the idol that she had made and he burned it, ground it to powder, and he removed her from that place of authority. You know, before Asa was going to know the blessing of God upon his life, there had to be obedience to the Word of God. And Christian, that's a good pattern for you and I to follow very closely, that before we will know the blessing of the Lord in our lives, we must come humbly, simply, faithfully to God's Word, and we must obey. And to follow the Lord more than following people, that's what we must do. During the early days of his reign, the land had rest. There was peace. And so during that time, though, Asa was not a man of leisure in the sense of not being busy about the things of God. No, he built. He built fenced cities, walls, towers, gates, and bars. He prepared his army with targets and spears and shields and bows. And he used the time of peace wisely. For there was a large storm that was brewing on the horizon. I wonder, friends, if we in our lifetime, in our times of peace, are using the time that God has given us to prepare for an uncertain time, to prepare for a testing time, to prepare for a time of battle. For the time we have now may be a time of peace. It may be a time of stillness. But we don't know what tomorrow will bring in our lives personally. We don't know what it will bring to us in the work of God. We don't know what event might be just around the corner. Why it is so essential, as we set ourselves Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, to bring again to the Lord the things that we have need of, to be in prayer, times of preparation. Preparation in our own hearts, preparation in our church, preparation in our school, asking God to go in front of us and to show us the way, to pray for our nation, our land. Yes, believer, let us be about the business of prayerful preparation in the time when we have peace. Because God may be allowing that coming storm to try us. For Asa and for Judah, it was in the sense of an invading army. That was the storm and the aggression that was coming from Zerah the Ethiopian, an invader with a monumental army. And he had come and set himself and set the battle in array. Of course, to amass such an army and to move it into a place like that, it would have taken time. And whether or not Asa's spies knew that something was brewing, nonetheless, the time came when they knew they had to cross and to prepare themselves and to get into the battle. You and I, facing the challenges of our day, must realize that the arm of flesh is weak. And yet, as Asa prepared himself with those necessary human instruments, so God has called us to prepare ourselves in all the practical ways that we possibly can, ultimately realizing that the battle that we face is a spiritual battle. And believer, for all of us to come daily to know, as we read in Psalm 56, the great enemy of our souls, the devil, he comes against us fighting daily. And therefore, we must never be caught off guard. We must not be taken by surprise. But the spiritual man, the spiritual woman will always be looking, watching, waiting in preparation for the day of the attack. Sometimes the attacks might be small ones. They're sometimes tricky ones too, aren't they? They can catch us even more off guard than the greater battles. Whether we count them as being small, medium, or large, God calls us to be ready and to prepare. And Asa, being a man of God who did that which was good and right in the sight of the Lord, and in the days of his rest, took very careful preparation. When the enemy did come, he realized that there was still great dependence necessary upon the Lord. Did you notice the repetition of the word rest in the chapter that we have been reading? Several times it comes that God gave him rest. He rested in the Lord. And then in the time of the great urgency, we find again that Asa is saying to the Lord, "We rest on thee." My dear friend, the great theme of this chapter has got to be this: the recumbency of our faith in time of trouble. Are you resting on the Lord today? Please notice in the first place that Asa turned to the Lord in the time of his need. He turned to the Lord in the time of his need. We're told that he cried unto the Lord in verse 11. He cried unto the Lord his God, "Help us." Now, we know that a man of God like Asa was, this was not the first time the man had prayed. He was a man of God and therefore a man of prayer. He sought the Lord. He was in communication with God regularly. He had a personal walk with God. Believer, just as you do, you have a personal walk with God. You're seeking the Lord. You're walking with God daily. But you know, sometimes we're caught a little bit off guard or surprised. And when the enemy comes against us, is it the very first thing that we do? Is it that we come to cry out unto the Lord? Or are we struck with shock and fear? And do we look out for other avenues of assistance and places to help us? Well, whether we come to the Lord sooner or later, in this case, it is definitely better late than never. But for prayer, for seeking the Lord, it is better that we are never late in calling upon Him. Asa had turned already to the Lord in his younger days when he called upon Him in confession of his sin. There is no doubt about that. Asa was a saved man. He believed in the Lord. He trusted in God. God was his Savior. Jehovah was his God. He looked to the one who had set him upon the throne of Judah. This was not something that he would have considered was just done by men or because he happened to be in the royal line. Because a man of faith knows that God is not dependent upon human instrumentality, but God pleases to use us. And so, yes, Asa could have been set aside as other people who were ready for the throne had been in the past. Asa knew that God placed him in a position of authority. He had trusted in the Lord his Savior, and he was now in a day of trouble. He was calling upon the living God because he knew the word of the Lord and how David had written in the psalm, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And I suggest to you, because David had composed that psalm, that these psalms that were inspired of the Lord, that would have been sung by the very Levites, that Asa knew that psalm. He knew that word. He knew that given by the Spirit of God to call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and that's exactly what Asa was doing now. Calling upon the Lord because he knew that God was his strong defense. He was a good defense. No. He was his only defense. He was the Almighty and the Sovereign God of heaven and earth. And Asa came to the Lord who was his Sovereign, and he depended on him, and he called upon the Lord. He cried out. Do we always do that, friend? Do we always call out to the Lord? Well, as I've already hinted, I think too often we try our broken cisterns. We try the arm of our flesh. We try our own intellect. We try by our own experience. We look back and say, well, I've been down this road or something similar to it. Let me see, what did I do back then? And we try to tinker a little bit, and we try to bring in the maneuverings that we used in the past, all to no avail, because the Lord doesn't want us to do that. Yes, we will look with remembrance of praise and thanksgiving for deliverances, and we may look and see how God was aiding us then. But every time, believer, we must be brought to the place where we cry out unto God for help. Help me, Lord. I need help now. I have nothing else and no one else and no place else. And that's exactly where this man of God was. And the Scripture tells us, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." How much, friend, do we really trust in the Lord? Oh, I think a lot of times it may be the professional way of trusting. It may be the on-the-surface way. It may be, yes, I've read it before, I've memorized it, I've thought through it. Sometimes it's just not there as it should be. And if we are not trusting in the Lord, if we're not crying out to Him, then we will have to learn the lesson again, sometimes the hard way. Where do you stand today, friend, in this matter? Believer, have you progressed to this level, the level of not depending on self, the level of just crying out to the Lord at the very first time that trouble comes, the first place? Lord, we would pray and need to pray, increase our faith. If you want today, friend, to have the rest of faith in your Christian experience, it will be by coming to try the Lord and prove Him on this very place. He had turned to the Lord in the time of his need. Please notice number 2. He acknowledged that the Lord was all powerful. Look at back again in verse 11. It said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help with many or with them that have no power. Asa knew that God uses instrumentality of humans. He proved that in the past. He knew even in the victory that his own father had over Jeroboam that they assembled the army. They went out to battle. But it was God that gave the increase and gave the victory. There were other times, such as when Jehoshaphat was called to battle, and he would stand with all his army, and they wouldn't even draw out their sword. They would just stand there prepared. And God did something in the moving of the mulberry trees, and he discharged his angels from heaven to destroy the enemy. He didn't use man at all to use with many or with them that have no power. And that's exactly where Asa saw himself that day. Lord, we are no match against the enemy. We're no match against all that come against us. And they are relentless because the devil never seems to have a shortage of people who will serve him. And Christian, let's not forget that today. That if we're knowing the victory of the Lord, our dependence is upon an all-powerful God. And our trust is, if we stand alone and solo against the enemy, it is the God who is behind us, in front of us, all around us, that is our power and our hope and our victory. And it's there that we must rest. I say to you, friend, this takes immense faith. It takes great faith. But didn't the Lord say that little faith in Him transpires into great faith? That's exactly what He wants us to do. As we call on the Lord and as we extend our hearts to Him and say, Lord, my confidence, my trust, my everything is in the God of heaven. And Lord, I know in the past You have saved sometimes using many, but You've also saved, Lord, when there's been only one or none. Whether we be few, Lord, or many, I trust in a God who has created all things out of nothing. I trust in a God who, by His very Word, has breathed out all that we see into existence, who placed the stars in the heavens, who sent His only begotten Son to become a man, to suffer and die, and to bear my sin upon a cross of shame and suffering, and who withstood all the forces of satanic power, but has risen gloriously from the dead. Today He is seated at the right hand of the throne and majesty on high. This is our God. This is our Redeemer, our Savior. And this is our friend. And today, friend, I say to you that when you turn to the Lord in the time of your need and you acknowledge that it is the Lord who is all-powerful that you are trusting in, then it does not matter how great the enemy appears to be. And his appearance may be great, And the reality of the enemy may be greater than even his appearance. But friends, in those situations, it is to trust in the Lord. It is a great step of faith. And that step of faith that we are called to walk in each day, it may be against your reason. It may be against all of the common sense that you think you have or that seems to be there. It may be against all the evidence that is appearing to you that the enemy is great. Look at how many of them there are. It may be against a crisis and threatening situation. What are we to do in a case like that? We are to boldly say, as the Apostle Paul did, "Sirs, I believe God." And that settles it. And friend, when you and I come to that position in our Christian walk where we say, "It doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter how many of them are against me. I believe in God." That settles it. Can you rest there? Can you be confident in that? And say that the power of God is my power. And in ourselves, we are unable for the Zeras of this world. The adversary. Oh, I say to you that Zera, the Ethiopian, was really just a type and a shadow of Satan and all of his angels and the enemies of the gospel and the cross. And they are so fierce in their appearance. And they would strike fear into the hearts of men. But into the child of God that's looking beyond. Do you remember what Elisha said to his servant that was so fearful about the number of the enemy that was against him? He said, "Lord, open the eyes of this one, weak in faith." But when his eyes were opened, he then saw what Elisha saw by faith, that the army of heaven was in the horizon in the mountains around them. And that was where Elisha was. Just calmly, resting. Do you not see them all around? They're there. The enemy looks like nothing compared to who is on our side. We stand today, friend, held in the hands of a loving, merciful, kind, sovereign Lord. And what He wants of us is a clear sound of faith declared from our heart. Lord, we trust in You. There is no restraint. Jonathan said when he was before the Philistines, outnumbered again in a great way, he said to the Lord, "There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Jonathan was in the same step and course of faith as a man like Asa. He called on the Lord. He trusted in His God. And yet, friend, it's been proved over and over again by servants of the Lord. What about Abraham? You remember when Lot was taken? And he was taken by the armies, and Abraham armed his 318 servants in his household, and they went by night. They traveled all night, and they came upon them, and they destroyed the whole army. And got back again Lot and all their families and all their possessions. A small number against a great army. And how about the well-known story of Gideon and his 300 as they stood against all the armies of Assyrians? Yes, friend, God is calling us to walk not by what appears to be human strength. And when our faith is weak, as it so often is, let's be reminded again of this scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a lesson for us all. And I know we have to learn it, friend. And we have to learn it so often again and again that without Christ, we can do nothing. It is in Him that is our hope. It's in Him that is our confidence. It's in Him that is our strength to go forward. And as the hymn writer wrote, "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee and help thee and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand," taken from Psalm 41, verse 10. Yes, our confidence is certain and it is sure. The world will tell us that we must be self-reliant in order to succeed. The power comes from within yourself. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, self-denial and total dependence upon Him is the answer, because He is able. He is able. I know He is able to deliver thee. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Therefore, friend, let us be strong in prayer, strong in faith, depending on Him. Yes, Asa turned to the Lord in the time of his trouble, and he acknowledged that the Lord was all-powerful. Third place, his petition was clear and it was simple. He said, "Help us, O Lord, our God. Help us, O Lord, our God." You won't find a simpler word in the English language than help. It's filled with meaning, and depending on the tone and in the urgency of the place, it will speak for itself. It's a cry of dependence. Mother, when you hear your child cry out for help, you know the difference between pretend and real. You know the difference of someone who is a small problem and a child that has a vital need. And the Lord knows the difference of our cry. He knows our prayer and our heart's need. And when we come to call upon Him, the Lord is delighted by our dependence. And He comes to intervene. We can pray when we're in that time of trouble. Words sometimes can't even properly define our problem. And that's why help is so good. And believer, you know what this is like. Because there are times when you've just hung your head and your heart is broken. And you just say, "Help me, Lord." You've been there. You know what that's like. And you will know also then the comfort and the application of God's deliverance to you. Oh, friend, it comes at various times and places, but you have experienced that, and may you experience yet again. May we all do that by faith. When Peter cried out, sinking down in the water when he was, "Lord, help me, save me, Lord, I perish." Friends, let's realize ourselves that our petition does not have to be complex, that our prayers don't have to be all polished. They can be simple and straightforward and very plain. And as we speak with the Lord, let's do so in such tones. Finally, this morning, notice, please, the assurance, the confidence that he had. In verse 11, "Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. We rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. Asa was a man who knew the Scripture, he knew the Lord, he knew His Word. And he was confident upon the Word that God had given, and he was confident upon the name that God had revealed Himself by which to the people of the Lord. He depended upon the covenant-keeping God. He depended upon the name of Jehovah, of Elohim. He depended upon the God that was able to do great and mighty and victorious things. And when the enemy was against him, and when they were facing annihilation, he was able to say, "Lord, help us. Help us in the time of our need." Edith Cherry wrote these words, "We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe, strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender. We rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go." There is no safer ground, friend, that we can stand on. There is no more secure place than resting in the Lord our God. Asa yearned for the honor of the Lord his God when he raised his name. And he said, "O Lord, Thou art our God, let no man prevail against Thee." He saw that the forces and the attack was not just against him and not just against the people, but ultimately the enemy was coming against the name of the Lord God that he worshipped. And believer, when you and I come face to face in our reality, that the attack that is against us, oh yes, we will feel the heat of it, but ultimately the attack against us is the attack against the God of heaven whom we worship and serve. And it's His honor that we are concerned about, more than just our own skin. It's the honor of our God. Here was a faithful servant of the Lord. Here was a man whose testimony speaks for itself. And in the time of his urgent need, when the enemy was approaching, he said, "Lord, for the honor of Your name, rise, defend Your cause, defend Your people. Let the testimony of Jehovah be echoed out throughout this whole world." Christian, is that our desire today? Beyond our own life, beyond our own self, beyond our own feelings, beyond our own reputation? Is it for the honor of Christ that we care more than anything else? That is the greater picture that we must grasp today. Because in so seeing it, the Lord will lift us higher to get the vantage point that Elisha had of the great army of heaven that is behind us and that surrounds us, and that the angel of the Lord encamps round about His people. God gave to Asa that day a resounding victory. It's recorded for us. And he could say that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and no weapon that is formed against the church of Christ will prosper. Do there appear to be signal victories for the devil and his crowd? It appears that way. There are times when the church of Christ will come under great persecution. But don't think for a moment, my friend, that that is the end of the story. or that God is in some way defeated. The Lord is working according to His purpose and plan, and the church, the remnant, the little flock may seem to be scattered, may seem to be under attack, may seem to be downtrodden, but our eyes are upon the God of heaven, and we rest upon Him by faith. We come to recline ourselves upon the Lord, because, friends, when we do that, we will know the recumbency of our faith in the time of trouble. We will be able to go forward, and our prayer will be strengthened, and we will realize that the more urgently we need to be at the throne of grace in prayer, calling upon the Lord with the assurance and certainty and confidence that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I'm very thankful for the Word of God today and for these precious stories that are so filled with real application and help. I pray, Lord, that we in our day, not just looking back at a historical account, but these things will be written on our minds, for they have been written for our learning. And I pray that we will see the application of them day by day. Lord, hear this, our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.